Well, today I want to wrap up a sermon series that I started 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it is called "You Can Lead a Horse to Water,
but you can't make him drink."
Let's say it again: You can lead a horse to water,
but you can't make him drink.
But you can't make him drink. We have 3 parts already. The first part was Jesus offers us living water, and his favorite word is "come." Drink of the living water. Experience true life by accepting me as your Savior. And the second part was why many Christians don't stop drinking the wrong water, right? That what we learned why they don't stop drinking out of the tank of temptation. There was 4 reasons, and we covered those. And then the part 3 that we talked about last week was we expose the lie that the world is feeding us. And the world's lie is this, that your faith is your faith. Don't be sharing that stuff with me because nobody wants to hear it. And we learned that that's a lie because there are people that want to hear it. There are people all across this country, in Northwest Oklahoma, all across our United States, all across the world that desire to hear the truth, but they want to hear it from a friend, someone that loves them no matter what they believe, and then, hopefully, Lord willing, they come and they give their heart to Christ. In other words, as Christians, it's not enough for us to experience God in our lives. We have to allow him to work through our lives. We are to be that windmill that God allows that water, that living water, to pump through so that we can fill that tank full of love and forgiveness and joy and peace and all those things that the world is looking for. And so that's what we covered so far. And today, I want to wrap up the series, You Can Lead a Horse to Water, but You Can't Make Him Drink. And I want to piggyback it on last week's message. Let me just say this. If we are called to allow God to work through us, to meet the needs of others, to be a witness for the Lord, to allow the living water to flow through us so that others might know Christ, here's the question, what are we to be sharing with the world? What should the world know about Christ and the church? And here's the answer. What we stand for. What should the world know about church? What should the world know about Christianity? They need to know what we stand for. Not just what we stand for, but what God stands for. They need to know it. Here's the problem. A lot of churches have conveyed a message about all that we stand against. And I'll just be the first to tell you, we are going to oppose evil. Amen? We are going to speak against the devil and his ways. We are going to expose the lies that he tries to feed us to lead us astray. But here's the deal. While that's important, I believe what's more important or just as important is for the world to know what we stand for, not just what we stand against. Can I get a better clap than that? I need some rowdy friends in the place. I don't know about you.
Put your orange back on.
What? Put my orange back on? Okay, I'll try that. Maybe that'll work. But here's the deal. At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we are committed to speaking against the evil that's in this world. We are going to expose it by shedding the light of the truth of God's Word in every dark corner that's out there. But here's the problem. I think that a lot of churches have only exposed what we're against. You can't do this. You gotta obey these rules. That's a sin. Stop doing that. Stop doing this. And that's all the world knows about us. If you were to ask your unchurched friends or your lost friends or people that don't go to church, what do you think about the church? What do you think their answer would be? Just think about it. Those people that are unchurched, that are lost, what do you think their answer would be? I can tell you what the answer. I ask people all the time. I play dumb. I cover up my Thousand Hills Ranch Church logo thing, and I go, what do you think about Christians? As if I'm not one. I go undercover. I kind of like it. It's kind of funny. And you know what the normal response is? Oh, you're those people that stand against, or you're those people that don't drink. you don't have sex. And I'm like, what? I got three kids. You're those people that, you know, that don't have any fun. You're the hypocrites. For once in my life, I wish I could come and approach an unchurched person and they would say, you know what, Bo? I believe that the church stands for love. You know why they don't? I think a lot of it has to do with that they don't understand the Word of God, and that's okay. But you know why they don't? It's a lot of it is us. It's not that they really oppose God's Word or Jesus Christ a lot of times, even though they do. It's that they oppose the people that claim Jesus Christ but don't live it out. That should change, right? It needs to change. Well, what should we stand for? If you were here last week, I read some statistics, and it talked about what the unchurched are saying about us, about the church. And what did they say? Here's what they said. We have forgotten the two greatest commandments in the Bible. And what are they? To love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Guess what? The church knows that we're supposed to be about that. That's what's amazing to me. They can tell us what the Scripture says, but they oftentimes don't see it in us. And so here's the thing. I want to give you three things that they should know. Okay? You ready for this? Are you taking notes? Everybody's taking notes, right? Everybody's got their pen out, their notepad? Got your little notepads out? Listen, the three things that the world should know about the church. Number one is this. The first thing that the world needs to know is that we love God and that we love them. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I think that covers everything. Amen? And listen to what else it says. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandments than these. Listen, the unchurched Western culture around us in Northwest Oklahoma, they need to know that we love God and that we love them. That's what they need to know. I want every lost cowboy, cowgirl, whatever, city boy, city girl, I want them all to know that I love God and that I love them. And you say, well, how do we show them love? We buy coats. We buy coats. And you say, well, that's not being, spiritual need. It'll lead to it, Lord willing. Amen? They're here today. Amen. Well, you may say, well, you know what, Bo? You know, love the world and all that. And they're the heathen. They're the people that totally contradict the Word of God. Are we supposed to really love them? Are we supposed to really embrace them and show them God's love? Yes, we are. You know why? Because that's what Jesus did. You say, well, they don't deserve it. God said, you know, you obey me and I'll bless you. Yes, he did. But we don't deserve it either. And he still provides grace for us. He still provides heaven for us. The reason we should love the unchurched and the unsaved around us is because God does. John 3:16, for God so loved the what? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And he didn't die because we were clean already. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were in our sin, he still went to the cross for us. God loves the world. He doesn't just love the pretty folks, the rich folks, the people who seem to do nothing wrong, but he loves the dirty cowboy or cowgirl who always seems to get everything wrong. He loves the girl that has made terrible decisions. He loves you. He loves you. And you say, okay, Bo, I understand that God loves me. I understand that we're supposed to love him. What else are we supposed to share with the world? What else are they supposed to know that we stand for? Here's number two. The world needs to know that our God is good. He's a good God. I think a lot of people, when I ask them, what do you think about God? Oh, no, he's a stuck-up jerk. I mean, he's that judge that's going to judge everything. And guess what? He will. But there's some great truth about knowing his son that will keep you from most of that judgment. And so he's a good God. Look at Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You say, well, how is he good, Bo? How is he good? Well, first of all, his character is good. He is, listen to these attributes of God. He is perfect. He's perfect. There are no contradictions in him. There are no defects in him. There is no more value that you can add to him that he doesn't already have. He is the most perfect being that you can't say that he didn't walk the earth. Amen? Through his son, Jesus. So he's good in his character. Second of all, he's good and goodness flows from within him. And it flows out of him. He's kind. He's generous. He's giving. Everything good that we now enjoy and everything we hope to enjoy flows from him. Everything. Not only that, no good thing has ever existed or will ever exist that does not come from his good hand. Look at James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, come down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting sand. Guess where those good things come from? They all come from him. What does the world need to know? They need to know that we love God, that we love them, and that God is a good God. And here's the third point. Not only is he good, but God blesses those who know him personally. He blesses us. You know what that word blessed means? It means happy. And it's not just some generic happy that's fleeting. It's a joy. It's a lasting peace, a lasting fulfillment that only he can provide through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 34:8 again. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen to this part. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You say, well, what does the church, the unchurched Western culture around us need to know about God? That he blesses those who place their faith in his son, Jesus Christ. That's what they need to know. And you say, well, what are those blessings? Can I give you? They're unlimited, by the way. I couldn't even cover all of them. But here's a couple of his blessings. First of all, is forgiveness. I know a lot of you guys, well, all of us, have dealt with sin in our lives because we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done things wrong. The pastor's done things wrong. Everybody in here has done things wrong. But here's the deal. In Psalm 104, 11 and 12, listen to this. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Listen, when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, he rids us of our sin. He washes us as white as snow. And you may be here today, you may be walking in your shame, you may be walking in your past, you may be walking in your guilt. Listen, all you have to do is ask for the forgiveness of your sins, and he will forgive you. He'll do it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Not only is God good, but he offers forgiveness. And listen to what else he offers. And the world needs to hear this. Number two, they can receive the privilege of prayer. They can receive the privilege of prayer. When a person comes to Christ, they gain direct contact with the Creator of the world. I don't know if that floors you or not, but I'm amazed that I can talk to the Creator of the world because I have a personal relationship with his son. And you say, well, what does he provide? I mean, what's prayer all about? I mean, I can pray. Listen, the privilege of prayer is this. We get to talk to the Creator of the world. We can fellowship and have a friendship with God. We can seek His guidance and He provides it. We can seek wisdom and blessing and healing and peace. But if you don't possess a personal relationship with Christ, guess what? You've denied your access to the power that He possesses. Prayer is the privilege for the Christian. And you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, here's the deal. A lot of lost people, I hear them all the time, and it's okay. And again, maybe they just don't know. But prayer is something that as Christians we get to do because we have a personal relationship with Him. And you say, well, how do we come to Christ? How do lost people come to Christ? The only prayer that God really answers for a lost person is the prayer of forgiveness. Think about it. I mean, the Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Therefore, the prayer of the unrighteous is ineffective. And so here's the deal. If you want to have the privilege of prayer, you need to know His Son personally. Does He work in the lives of lost people without them knowing Him? Absolutely. Can they, pray and God receives their prayers and hears them? I don't know. But I do know that when I give my heart to Christ, I have a personal talk and conversation with God. Number three, the third blessing that the world needs to hear about is this. If they will give their hearts to Christ, they win. If we will give our hearts to Christ, we can win. Look at John 3:16, the last part. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you say, well, what does that mean, Bo? Well, winning is guaranteed when we drink the water of life that Christ gives us. Those that drink of the living water will inherit eternal life. And you say, well, that is awesome, Bo. I know Christ personally, and I am so thankful that He gave me that eternal life. Here's the sobering truth. There are friends all around us that don't know Christ personally. And guess what? They're not going to reap eternal life in heaven. But we can share it with them. You might be here today, and you might be thinking, Bo, you're just a cocky, punk Christian who's talking about all about your God and how He's so good and how He blesses all of us. Listen, if that's you and you think we're all just goody two-shoes and we all got it all together, you're wrong. But here's the truth. My God blesses me because I have a personal relationship with Him. And here's the truth that you need to hear. You can possess it too. It's not exclusive. His salvation, his redemption, his forgiveness is not exclusive. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to know Him personally. And it's your choice. You can have the same blessings that I do. And you say, well, Bo, is your life perfect? Absolutely not. Do you still deal with struggles and trials and tribulation? Do you still deal with things of heartache and pain? Absolutely. But you know what? I get to walk through this world with Christ by my side, and He walks through it with me. And you can experience that today. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Just like that horse, that I can lead him to that water, but I can't make him drink. Listen, we can share with you today that there is a God who loves you, that is a good God, that gives us the privilege of prayer when we know His Son personally, that gives us eternal life when we give our heart to His Son. But we can't make you drink that. You have a choice today. A choice to either reject the truth and to reject His love or to accept His love and receive eternal life. You say, well, Bob, how do I do that? There's a verse in the Bible, Romans 10:9-10, and it says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're sitting there and you're just scared to death. But in your heart, you feel this tug. Something's talking to you. Can I tell you who that is? It's the Holy Spirit. Maybe in your heart, you hear today, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Drink the living water that only I can provide. Maybe in your seat right now, you just need to say, okay, God, I give up. I need your forgiveness. I ask for your forgiveness. I want you to forgive me of my past. I want you to forgive me of all the things that I've done wrong, and I want to accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you just need to do that right there in your chair. It's not about coming to the front. It's not about filling out a card. It's not about being on a church roll. It's about knowing Christ personally. And you can do that in your seat. Now listen, if you did, and if you've done that this morning, and you said to the Lord for the first time, I repent of my sins, I turn from them, and I want to turn toward you, I want you to guide my life. Listen, we want to know. Not so that we can embarrass you or pull you up to the front or anything, we don't do any of that. We just want to know so that we can encourage you, so that we can equip you, so that we can walk beside you through this life and encourage you and give you the strength that you need to say no to the temptations of this world. Maybe you're a Christian already. And maybe you've been nagging everybody around you. You're known as the nag. You're known as the pusher. You're known as the person who can't keep their mouth shut. Can't talk without saying something negative. Can I just tell you, can you just change? Maybe you need to just keep talking, but you just need to change what you're talking about. With everybody that's around you, with people that don't know Christ, maybe you just need to start standing for what God stands for, not just what he stands against. Maybe you need to start sharing the love that Christ has given you to that lost and dying world. Maybe you need to share with them that God is a good God. He provides forgiveness. He can give you an eternal life. And he loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. Maybe that's what you need to start sharing. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer in just a second. But maybe before we leave today, you just need to make a commitment to God and say, okay, God, let everybody know that's around me that I love you and that I love them. Help me to be that person that shows the love of God to people, even people that don't deserve it, even our enemies. Lord, I come to you right now, and I thank you that you are a good God, that though you judge the sinner, though we will reap what we sow, though we do have consequences, though we oppose evil, you still love us, and you do love us, and you show us in your word how to love this world. Lord, help us to live that out. And for those, Lord, that maybe have asked you into their heart today for the first time, may they experience your goodness. May they get a Bible, or may they come back to this church so that they can experience your goodness, so that they can grow in their faith in you, and they can walk in the goodness of you. Lord, we praise you for all that you've provided us with, and we give you the glory. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today.